the beginning, the Word had already spoken what had been. The universe understood its meaning. Nature recognized its tone. Life and energy responded to its sound. And so our story was birthed through the ecstasy of creation and the agony of love. In the beginning, the Word had already declared what was to be, yet blindness did not see it. Ignorance could not discern it. Hostility refused to accept it. And so our story was lived through the suffering of a son and the heartache of a father. In the beginning, the Word spoke clear and true of what is, and a weeping woman heard it. A people failed to suppress it. A world is yet to receive it. And so our story begins again and again and again with a word. The prologue, the opening words of John's Gospel, are words that resonate throughout Advent and the Christmas season. And today is not the first time you will have heard them in the last month. They are among some of my favourite words in the Bible. And wonderful, wonderful words to begin a new year with. It is simply fabulous to be reminded right at the beginning of a new year that in the beginning was the Word, a source of life and a life that brought light which the darkness has never managed to put out. And there's a huge similarity and resonance between the beginning of John's Gospel and that of the very beginning of the Bible in the opening words of Genesis. So let's hear a few verses from there. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the water. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. And here again, the opening words of John's Gospel. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God was in the beginning. He brought light. The Word was with God, the source of life and light. There's that expression that describes the Bible as the Word. We often refer to it as the Word of God, and in worship we give the Word a prominent place. It's carried in and placed on this pulpit lectern each Sunday. But not just placed in it, it's opened. And for me, there's something very symbolic about the Word being open for the duration of worship. The words are right at the heart of our worship. And in effect, what I try to do, granted sometimes more successfully than others, is to open up the Word for you, to you, to give you some insight and explanation as to what the Word is saying to us here in this parish, here at this time. Over and over again, I'm taken aback by how ancient words, millennia-old words, can still have something to say to us today. The Word is as relevant today as it was when it was first recorded. The Word. The Bible is a collection of texts split into two parts, the Old and the New Testaments, the before Jesus and the after Jesus. But I don't know about you, but when I hear words of the prophets, and especially the passages that we heard throughout Advent, talking to us about the birth of a Saviour, pinpointing where he will be born and to whom, it never fails to move me. These words were written many centuries before Jesus was born. These were the texts that the Jewish people were using in worship and were teaching centuries before Jesus' birth. The Word was with God. The Word was God. the source of light that brought light to people. Now, in approaching the word, we read it through many different lenses. We read it, first of all, through the lens that is our own experience. How has it been preached or taught to us throughout our lives? How have we read it or studied it? Not everyone has the opportunity that I had to immerse myself in theological and biblical studies for 3 years. But can I let you into a secret? No one at university told us what to think about what the Bible said. Not one of my excellent lecturers provided definitive thinking on what the word contains. Rather, we were taught how to read the word through different lenses, how to contextualize the words that we studied. These words are not just black marks on a page and lifeless. They have history, culture, and some of the words were written for a particular set of people. To read the words of the Bible and to keep them static and not to explore beyond them is to suck all life out of them and often miss what they're really saying to us today. And this, of course, is where difficulties can begin. Because when you start to read the various Bible commentaries, listen to different preachers, you begin to hear different interpretations and often quite polarized expressions of what the word is saying. And so we end up with different ideas about many of the teachings of the Bible. The most headline, ongoing, current debate seems to be about homosexuality. But the same debate has been had and continues in some quarters to be had about women in ministry, about divorce, and a myriad of other topics. And people can get quite heated about them all. But I've said this before, and I will keep on saying it. There is a gospel imperative above about loving your neighbour and loving God that rises up above all of these things. There is an imperative in our reading of the word this morning. The darkness has never been put out, put out the light. I love the Bible, and I love these imperatives about what is, and that's what I love about it, because they are timeless. They have stood the test of time and will continue to do so. Whatever your approach to the Bible is, these two imperatives, love God, love your neighbour, and how the darkness has never put out the light, these will hold fast. But what are we to do with them? What are we to do with the word? There's a famous saying that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But I think we all know that that's untrue. I doubt there's not anyone here who has not been hurt by the words of others at some time in their life. And often even the most well-meaning of words can hurt us to the core. So how do our words reflect the word? In our day-to-day interactions with people, either at home or in the workplace or in whatever activity we're taking part in, how do the words we say affect those around us? Our English language and indeed our dialects are both colourful with words for all kinds of situations with all kinds of meanings. But do we use them for good? Or are we guilty of letting words do damage? Do we use words to uplift or to knock down? Do we use words to heal or to wound? Do we use words to let the light shine or allow the darkness to cloud over? The word. The Bible contains all kinds of words. There are passages in the Bible that would give us be given a certificate 18 rating for violence or because of their sexual content if they were ever made into a film. But the vast majority of the words are words that are there for the good, to uplift, to heal, and to let the light shine. We sang Christ is our light earlier in the service, a simple yet powerful song. Christ is the light of the world. Our task in the here and now is simple and challenging. It is to let the Christ light shine into the world today. That is what being disciples of Christ means and requires. It is a challenge for all of us to let the light of Christ shine in our own lives. If we don't, then how can we expect to be able to attract people to a life with Christ? If people can't see the light shining through the darkness, then what will attract them to be part of a community of faith? I recently spoke to someone who'd been struggling a bit with their faith and encouraged them not to give up, because God never gives up on us. The light still shines. The Word made flesh in Jesus Christ still loves us, still loves the world, still has work to be done, and still needs us to do the work. We can be the Word incarnate in the world today. In our lives, in our words and actions, we can speak up for the Word. We can be life-breathing people of grace and truth, letting the light shine brightly. So here's a challenge for us all, a New Year's resolution, if you like. How about we begin this new year making a bigger effort at being the light that is Jesus, to use our words more carefully? My mum has a saying that goes, if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. In our interactions with family and friends, at work, and even in our church activities, be aware of how your words might come across. Are they words that build up or knock down? Are they words that wound or do they heal? Are they words that let the light shine or the darkness cloud over? And similarly with our actions, they should be for the good. All the fine words in the world mean nothing if our actions speak louder, because those actions are counter to our words. As we move into a new year together, I am excited about the future, about the opportunities ahead for us as a church to let the Word shine. This coming year will not be without its challenges. As the draft presbytery plan becomes a draft no more, but a roadmap for the coming years, as the church nationally continues its path of reform, things will become different for all of us. We are, relatively speaking, a big parish doing some fantastic work in our community and supporting people further afield. But we can be doing more, and we can be doing them more effectively. But that means sharing the load, allowing people to use their skills and talents effectively, enabling everyone to let the Word shine through them. Sticks and stones do break bones. The Word made flesh was lifted up on a cruel stick, and impossibly that deathly place was where the light shone in darkness and was not put out. Words can hurt, but the Word never hurts us. Eugene Peterson has a beautiful way of putting some of the opening words of John's Gospel, and he writes, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John pointed him out and called, 'This is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me. He has always had the first word.' We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding. All this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse, this one-of-a-kind God expression who exists at the very heart of the Father has made him plain as day." Let us together in 2020 help the Word move back into the neighbourhood. Let us together go into 2020 and keep this light shining. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Amen.
In the name of Jesus.